Welcome into the Rockies Insider Podcast. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, discussing the 100th loss of the Colorado Rockies. Notable not just because it's triple digits, because it's the third consecutive season that the Rockies have lost a century of games. But no, it was about the first inning, the first couple innings, the first eight pitches, in fact, in that wild game on Wednesday night, a 7-4 loss. I'll talk plenty about the 8-minute home run that was hit by Rafael Devers. No, seriously, 8 minutes. That's not how long the ball was in the air. It's not like they forgot to put it in the humidor. No, that's how long it took him to round the bases. News on Austin Gomber. Some other news about, let's say, not exactly throwing at an opposing player, but maybe throwing at your own teammate. A weird Trevor Story home run. Plenty of that and so much more, but Wednesday's loss was a rough one. 7-4, Rockies now match the 2011-2013 Astros, the last team, in fact, to lose 100 games 3 years in a row. Of course, the major difference between this 2023-2025 Rockies franchise is that the Astros in those 3 years were attempting to be bad and were fine with being bad and weren't actually trying to be a competitive ball club. And while I think you could make the case that perhaps the Rockies aren't really trying to be competitive right now either, A, they aren't talking like they're not trying to be competitive, because I think anytime you are not going to put a great product on the field, there should be some kind of game plan. And that's what the Astros had. That's what the Cubs had when they were tanking. It's what the White Sox were doing for a little bit of time. The Orioles, the Phillies in the mid-2010s. There are periods and times and pockets in which you say, well, look, we're going to get some good draft picks. We're going to get a lot of money coming out of the draft as well in terms of our bonus pool. And we're going to trade away some great players and bring in some really good prospects so that we can have a lot more quality players together at the same time, which will increase the likelihood of us going to the postseason. That's the game plan. That's what the Astros had in 2011-13. It's what the Cubs had from 2012-14. It's what a lot of other tanking jobs had that the current Rockies don't have. They don't have a plan to get themselves back on track. And when you look at over 300 losses over the last 3 years, what major prospects have they acquired? What major pieces have they acquired for their future because they were trading away, because they were selling, and they were trying to be bad? The worst part about this is that the Rockies have not been trying to be bad. I don't think they legitimately think that they were going to be good, despite, you know, some of the comments that Dick Monfort has said twice in the last 3 years about, you know, we might be near 500, or we're going to have the best infield defense of all time. Sure, that's pretty bad. That's putting your foot in your mouth, no doubt about it. But, you know, how much does he actually believe that? You know, I don't think it's a ton. I think it's, hey, on the high end, if everything goes our way, even though it just never does with professional sports, where everyone stays healthy, no one gets hurt, and everybody has a career year. That's not a reality. That's not a real way to run an organization. I think because Colorado went to the World Series in 2007 with a largely homegrown group and it worked out and they didn't expect it, I think Monfort really considers that as being the recipe, that because it happened once, it can happen again. So let's not try to figure out another way to get around this. And because of that, this third consecutive 100 loss season has to hurt so much more, because there isn't that same light at the end of the tunnel as when the Astros or Cubs did that. Just wasn't. It's not to say that there aren't, you know, certain good prospects, and namely, really, it's all about Ethan Holliday and Charlie Connell, but that's two really good players right there. And we still don't know what they're going to become. We do know that the Rockies have difficulty developing players in the minors and at the major league level. So again, how bright is that light at the end of the tunnel? I don't think very bright. Buddy of mine, Joe Adona of Rocky Mountain Saber, in a fun little text chain, pointed out all the teams that have franchises that have lost 100 games in three consecutive seasons. Boston Braves, the only franchise that actually did it twice, I believe. So Rocky's now the 11th franchise of the 30 to ever do that. And then looking at some of those numbers, realizing that, you know, if the Rockies lose 100 games next season, they'll be the first franchise to lose 100 games in four consecutive seasons since 1975. Wow. That's crazy to think about. And honestly, I for some folks that would say, well, it's not really fair to say how many wins or losses the Rockies are going to have next year when we haven't even reached the offseason. But based on Colorado's track record, they're in line to lose 100 games again. They have to do something radical to change that. And we haven't seen enough of those radical changes. Now, if they start to do that, hey, all bets are off. And maybe, just maybe, they don't lose 100 games. But based on how this team has been run in the past, how it's continually ran, and the roster that is going to return for next year, I don't see how they're not going to lose 100 games. It's possible, for sure, but you would really need drastic changes to the front office to really bring about that kind of change. And I think the changes in the front office, even if they weren't met with a ton of roster turnover or roster change, I think just in general, operating and doing business like any of the other 29 Major League Baseball teams, those little things can get a lot more out of a team. You know, Rockies aren't doing anything different from when Warren Schaefer took over than when Bud Black took over. Players aren't getting any new information, but they are getting boosted by this idea that, okay, we're not going to make up the difference for that really bad start. Warren Schaefer has got our backs. These guys are playing together now. They're a lot more comfortable together. In fact, I'll talk about some of Schaefer's comments tomorrow in regards to why they are in these games that much later into the ball games and why they have a chance to win just about any game. Something that you did not feel was the case in the first part of the season when Bud Black was the manager. So even just that, even just the change in the rigmarole and a new manager is able to squeeze out some more wins. So a new front office doing a few things differently, bringing in new coaches that have new information that can help their players actually play better and play up and craft a better game plan. I think those kind of things can take a ho-hum, lackluster team and at least, you know, squeeze out 65 wins, maybe close to 70 wins, whatever it may be. Even though the roster might not be that great and promising going forward, you just win more ball games because you're getting more out of your players. Now, in this 7-4 loss to the Giants on Wednesday, there was a post by like NBC Sportsnet San Francisco calling it a brawl, but it was not a brawl. It was not. Was it a brouhaha? Sure. Skirmish? Yes. But did we see fisticuffs? No, we did not. No, we did not. So in the eighth pitch of that ball game on Tuesday, Rafael Devers gave himself a 397-foot shot to right field, a two-run home run. And he took his time getting down to first base, just admiring it, but he was moving. Then there was a little bit of a bat flip, and Kyle Freeland didn't care much about it. Now, I haven't seen a front-facing angle of Freeland, but the ones from behind, it didn't seem that aggressive, like he was really yelling at him. But, you know, he said something to Devers, who, you know, Freeland's been in the league for a while, but so is Rafael Devers. In fact, I think they both came into the league in 2017. You know, Devers as a 20-year-old, but still, Devers is as a much bigger name. So, you know, say what you will, but okay, Freeland taking exception to it, but Devers is a veteran player, and Devers did not care for that. I think he was able to touch first base before, out of nowhere, Matt Chapman came and gave Freeland a shove. Willy Adames got into the fracas. There's another word that you could use to describe what it was, but brawl? No, we didn't see any punches thrown. There was some pushing, a little bit of shoving, but it wasn't a full-on brawl. It's nice to see that kind of heat. It's nice to see that kind of passion. You know, you can certainly go back and dissect it like the Zapruder film and see who was slow getting off the bench for the Rockies or the Giants, all that if you wanted to. But Freeland, after the game, saying of Rafael Devers, quote, "I found it extremely disrespectful to show me up like that in the first inning. After hitting the home run, standing there watching it, taking your sweet time getting down to first base. I've been in this league for quite some time. I know he has as well. I just find that extremely disrespectful and felt I needed to let him know about it." Kyle Freeland is frustrated. A lot of players on this roster are frustrated. It's one of the reasons why I'm surprised we haven't seen something like this boil over before. These guys, this has been a long season, and they still have, you know, 3 more weeks left. It's been rough. It's been rough for them, 3.5 weeks. So Freeland's certainly frustrated. You know, I imagine if he had to do it over again, he might not have had that same response because he got ejected from the game, Freeland did, as did Willy Adames, as did Matt Chapman. So the entire left side of the Giants infield didn't get a chance to go out there on the left side of the infield and play defense. They had to come out of the game. But Freeland not recording an out in the first inning, Warren Schaefer said of that, when your starter doesn't get an out in the first inning and then he's gone, that hurts the ball club. And it absolutely does. Antonio Senzatella had to come out of the pen. He ended up working 4 2/3 innings of one run ball. Longest relief appearance of his career. Longest relief appearance since last May when Josh Rogers went 5 innings. There's a name for you. It was his third appearance of the season where he did not walk a batter. And it begs the question, should Antonio Senzatella just have an opener? Because he comes in and he didn't come in the second inning. He still came in the first inning, but he didn't start the game. And he was good. He was fine. 5 hits. Didn't walk a batter. Only struck out one. I did want to look it up, but I'm not sure if Senzatella has ever come in relief of Kyle Freeland. That might have been the first time ever that that had happened. Not sure. It was interesting to hear comments made by Logan Webb post-game. He paused. He thought about it. And when he first started talking, I actually thought he was referring to Rafael Devers, but he was talking about Kyle Freeland. Logan Webb said, quote, "I'm surprised it hasn't happened before with that guy. He runs his mouth a lot of the time. Rafi got him good." So I don't necessarily know Kyle Freeland to be that mad. I mean, he is. He can be aggressive. He can have his moments. Usually that's, you know, to himself. But to other players, I don't know. And I don't know him to be a guy who runs his mouth. So I thought those comments were very, very interesting. And so even after Warren Schaefer made those comments about, you know, Freeland putting his team in a really bad spot, even after the comments that Warren Schaefer made on Tuesday night about Freeland, you know, leaving his club out there because he got ejected in the first inning, he did return on Wednesday afternoon in the pregame saying, quote, "I back up Kyle 100%. So he made it clear that, okay, sure, yeah, maybe the singular situation of running his mouth ended up spiraling out of control, domino effect. You lose your pitcher in the first inning. That's rough. That's harsh. But at the same time, hey, I back up my pitcher. He was pissed. He was upset. Okay, so be it. Chapman suspended 1 game. We learned that on Wednesday afternoon. He is appealing it, so he will not serve that suspension. He did not serve that suspension on Wednesday night. Fines for Freeland, Willy Adames, Matt Chapman, Rafael Devers. Adames, should be noted, that was his 30th birthday. So happy birthday. You got ejected. Go home early. Devers, so the home run he hit, 397-foot shot on Tuesday night, as I mentioned. From the point it left his bat to the time he ended up touching home plate, which did come when Antonio Senzatella was warming up, it was 8 minutes. Yes, because the benches had cleared, because of the brouhaha, it did take Rafael Devers 8 minutes to round the bases. Not totally unprecedented, but certainly a rare sight. I know someone was telling me that, oh, I was watching the game at someone's house, and they were talking about it, and I thought, you must have been watching at, I don't know, 7:15, 7:30, because they didn't bring up the bench clearing incident. And sure enough, that was true. Hunter Goodman in this game, a late surge by the Rockies, not enough, but he again does it in the clutch when the Rockies need him. 27th home run of the season, now just one shy of Willian Rosario's franchise record for most by a catcher. He's got 80 RBI. He now passes Willian Rosario for most RBI by a primary catcher in a single season in franchise history. And going into last night's game on Wednesday night, 7 for 16 with 5 RBI during this homestand. Still 3 more left to go. Logan Webb, solid as always, 5 innings pitched, only allowed those 2 runs. Wilmer Flores also with a home run. You know, on Monday, should note that Yankiel Fernandez has been playing a lot better. 4-game hit streak for him. Hard for him to go out there and face a lefty when a lefty is on the mound, but is getting some of those opportunities with a right-hander. Since August 3rd, his last 15 games, he's 15 for 44. Not too shabby. Rockies, you may not have noticed this. Maybe you did. This became official on Wednesday before the game, so you would have seen him in the dugout last night. Roansy Contreras, number 59, suited up for the Colorado Rockies. He was claimed off of waivers from the Orioles. As such, Ryan Rolison optioned to Albuquerque. Rockies had a open 40-man spot after Nick Anderson exercised his right to become a free agent. Contreras, 25 years old, still young. You would have liked this move maybe a little bit more a couple years ago when he was a part of a couple high-profile trades. He was one of the key pieces that the Pirates received in the Jameson Taillon trade when Taillon went to the Yankees, but he was designated for assignment last May by the Pirates and has went back and forth on waiver claims and trades, Angels, Rangers, Reds, Orioles, Yankees, Orioles. Again, he's been mostly a relief pitcher over the last couple seasons, does have a starter pedigree though, and did start 14 games in AAA for the Norfolk Tide, the Orioles AAA affiliate, also came in relief 14 times, but a 3.73 earned run average doesn't hurt to kick the tires on him. He's got about 2 years, a little over 2 years of service time. So, you know, Rockies can certainly have him for a while, very cheap. He won't even be arbitration eligible next year if he does become one of those people they keep around. Could he be, you know, depth piece for the starting rotation? Absolutely. He certainly could be one of those guys. Not sexy. You know, the Orioles are a last place team, and they're getting rid of him. And the Rockies, you know, are they signing him up for a spot in the rotation next year or to battle for a spot in the rotation? That certainly wouldn't be a good sign. But look, that's the state of the Rockies right now. So keep your eyes peeled on Roansy Contreras. Still only 25 years old. Maybe there's still something left in there. Talking about that bench clearing incident, again, not a brawl, but those brawls can get started with a brushback pitch or plunking an opposing batter or throwing at a player. But have you ever heard of throwing at your own catcher? Yeah. Framber Valdez apparently was unpleased with his catcher on Tuesday night, and he used PitchCom to call an off-speed pitch, and when the catcher prepared for that pitch, Framber whipped in a fastball at just under 94 miles an hour to cross him up. He basically was upset at his catcher, Cesar Valdez, who sort of, you know, was telling him to step off. You know, there was the pitch clock was expiring, but he was telling him to step off, and Valdez did not. And so Trent Grisham in a 2-0 ball game, a close game, Framber Valdez, a perennial Cy Young Award candidate with the bases loaded, didn't step off, and he threw a 96 mile an hour sinker that Trent Grisham hit to left field for a salami, 6-0 game. And that was the event that preceded Framber Valdez throwing at his catcher, essentially, whipping it at him. Salazar took off his mask, walked a couple steps towards the mound. Valdez kind of stared back at Salazar and was like, oh boy, what are we doing here? Framber Valdez he's the all-star, not Cesar Salazar. So I think we know who's going to get chewed out for that one. Though, again, very strange in general. What happened there on that play. So Salazar, you're not going to go ahead and tell an ace what to do in that moment. Still, strange response from Valdez. And a strange home run that Trevor Story hit over the weekend. One of the cheapest home runs ever. And not like the cheap ones that, you know, anyone outside of Denver or Colorado would say that all Rockies fans get because they play at Coors Field. No, not one of those cheap. It was actually the kind of cheap home run where Story didn't even wrap it around the pesky pole in right field at Fenway Park. He hit a ball 94.5 miles an hour. So, you know, somewhat league average, not great, a little bit higher than that. The projected distance was 306 feet. This would not have been a home run at 29 other ballparks. And in fact, I don't even know if it would have been a home run at Fenway Park had Jonkenzie Noel not been in right field. But Noel nearly caught the ball. The ball kind of came out of Noel's mitt, hit off the foul pole, kicked off, or he had the ball still somewhat in his mitt, hit a fan, couldn't hold on to the ball. It was initially ruled a foul ball. And then they said, all right, Story, just stand on second base, thinking, okay, this might be a, you know, automatic double. Not a ground rule double. I got in a debate about this recently. We always think a ground rule double is a ball that hits the surface of the playing field first and then bounces out of play. I was trying to avoid the word ground. No, it's not. That's an automatic double because that's true at any ballpark that you play at in the world. I even saw a ball earlier this year. It happens from time to time, but it was a ball that I forget who it was, a right-handed hitter, hit it down the right field line. It bounced in fair territory and then actually kicked into foul territory. That's an automatic double. Automatic. A ground rule double is when there are specific rules for the ball grounds or the ballpark. So it really should be called ballpark rule double, meaning it's specific to that ballpark and really maybe even only that ballpark. Like a ball getting caught in the ivy at Wrigley, that's not an automatic double because it's not automatically something that happens at the other 29 ballparks. It is a ground rule double. It is a double based on the rules of that ground, of that ball ground, of that ballpark. So an automatic double for Trevor Story. So it seemed, but no, because a ball in the air hit the foul pole, it was ruled a home run because that's what happens when a fair ball hits the foul pole, which is a whole other topic for another day. Why do we actually call it the foul pole? Should it really be the fair pole? Especially since you hit it, it's fair. This feels like it's probably a George Carlin bit. Maybe Gallagher? I don't know, but it's been done before. It's been done to death. I have not been done to death. I'm enjoying the social media interactions, watching the home run, first professional home run of Ethan Holliday, Charlie Condon tearing it up, hitting his 10th home run this season. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, Blue Sky X. That's where you can catch all of that awesome content and so much more over on the Rockies Insider channel on YouTube. Appreciate you dropping by this audio-only edition, but that kind of momentum that you've provided me here today, while I appreciate it, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.